there was a moment where I was a stay-at-home mom and I just felt like I couldn't actually be home with this one child that we had. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a complete failure because I was like, I'm a stay-at-home mom and I'm contemplating putting a foster child in daycare. Mm-hmm. Like, what backwards, ridiculous thing is this? But, you know, I think God was just like, you're not the be-all, end-all to all these people. Like, it's okay. They don't need that much of you. So calm down and just put her in daycare and people will take care of her there. And so it was very humbling, but it was very, I don't know, eye-opening for me that, like, I don't have to do and be everything for everyone in order for them to feel valuable and successful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need me to, like, step back and come home a little later and give them a little more time to breathe.
Welcome to the Loving God, Loving People podcast, where we talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives and how, in the end, all that matters is God and people. Here's today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. We have two very, I'm using the word very, very special guests today, Chris and Jihei Watson. What's up, guys?
Hey, thanks for having us. Oh, twinsies.
Oh my gosh,
we're so funny. We are so connected.
thanks for joining us today. If you are a Sun Valley person and you're like, are they related to Robert Watson?
We are. He is my baby brother.
Baby.
Tiny I always baby. Tell people because just because he's larger than I am doesn't mean he's my big brother. He is bigger, but I could still beat him up.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. I'm the big bro.
And then Jihei, you'll recognize from a lot of our devotionals, and you said people ask you about
They're like,
Robert.
Oh, are you married to Robert? I'm like, no, sure I'm not. Look at this gem. This is who I get to be married to, so I'm very thankful.
Yeah.
Meaning Chris.
Chris Watson.
It's
me. Chris Watson.
Thank you guys for being with us. If you have not yet listened to the second weekend of our Courageous Faith series, look that up, and you'll see an interview that I do with Chris and Jihei and just about some decisions they've made in their lives and in that how God has changed other lives. But today, we're going to change the topic of conversation a little bit. Not really change it, but maybe get a little more focused. And let's just talk about trusting God and what that means day in, day out. Mm-hmm. And so, Chris, I know the answers to some of these questions, but I'm going to ask you anyway just to help everybody. What do you do for a living day in and day out?
I have been in law enforcement for 18 years now, so at a local Valley agency, and absolutely love that work. Before that, I was in the Marine Corps, spent a year overseas in Iraq, and just have loved that, being able to serve in those ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm a police commander now, so I still am a police officer. But I don't get to do a lot of the cool stuff that other police officers do. So I still put on the uniform. And
it looks good. Looks good.
Thank you,
putting
honey.
It on.
Yeah.
You do look good in your uniform.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I showed up in uniform last time. That's right.
Yeah, when we met. I mean that differently than probably Jihei does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let me I'm just going to talk to you for a little bit.
Yeah.
So you see being a police officer, and then obviously when you served in the Corps.
Yep.
As an act of service, does your faith get involved there with even in how you protect and serve? And by the way, thank you for doing that.
100%. I think God calls us to do different things. And a lot of times, we talk about this in the interview, but also just in general. Ben talked about this last week where we see obedience is like this huge monster thing, but really it's something we do every day in our lives. For me, I felt called to that area of service since I was a kid. And if you ask Robert, he'll tell you we grew up playing cops and robbers and I just never grew out of it. Mm-hmm. But truly that was something that God put on my heart, just the desire to help people in need at the toughest times in their life, because that's when you're calling the police is usually not when like everything's
going
great.
Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's when things have hit rock bottom, and that's an opportunity for me to be there and be that light that God calls us to be, whether it's pulling somebody over or responding on one of the toughest days.
Yeah. Well, let me just bust a myth real quick with what you just said. Full agreement. And just to tell you this, man to man, it's obvious to me that God's called you to this. Mm. I see His Spirit at work in you, even in the way that you protect, serve, lead as an officer of the law. So thank you again for doing that. Just to bust a myth, so Like when I was a kid and I was young and I was like, I think I'm supposed to serve full time in the church. Mm-hmm. These older guys would be like, because I'm from the South, you know, are you called to the ministry? reality is we're all, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to ministry.
Yeah.
And so the calling on each of our lives is actually to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
So you're called to follow Jesus. Jihei, you're called to follow Jesus. We are, all three of us, called to follow Jesus. That just looks differently in what we might do in our vocation, but all of it involves calling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so whatever you do in life, God has you there for a reason and for a purpose, and you're called to follow Jesus there.
Yep.
How about you, Jihei? I know that you're managing a big home and lots of kids, and Chris helps on occasion, but...
He's very helpful, which I'm so thankful for. I work at a website company called Show It. They're the best, and I'm an HR generalist now. I was on the marketing team for a long time, but I think it's fun because I just love our people who work at Show It. And so it was fun to, I don't know, 2 years ago where my boss was like, we need a new HR person because we're hitting 50 employees soon, and that comes with a lot of different legal things. And so
I know it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So he was like, why don't you consider going into HR? And I was like, I don't know one thing about HR. I was like, I don't think I want to do a bunch of paperwork. And he's like, I don't think you really know what HR is. But it was great because his heart was, I want to bring in someone who knows our people and can learn HR. I don't want to bring someone who knows HR to come and learn our people. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like his heart is always for his company and always for his people. And so it's been super fun to... One, work full time for the first time since, I don't know, before we got married 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And a big piece of working full time was because we have a ton of teenagers and we knew people's were going to need cars. Mm-hmm. We buy, you know, half a car with our kids. And then the thing I didn't really think about was car insurance. And so Topher actually just got licensed last week and I don't think we're financially ready for
that. We are not. Those kids are expensive.
Yeah. So Lily, you know, she turned 16 last year, so she's a driver. Topher's a driver. Mm-hmm. In 2 years, we'll have another one. And I'm just like, I might actually need a second full-time job at this point. But yeah, it's fun. I love working and being a mom. We have six kids living at home still. Kate is out of the house, married, mm-hmm. all those good things. But her and Josh come over for dinner plenty. And
yeah.
I also have to make money for the food, for the food budget.
So you have seven kids, one out of the house. Mm-hmm. That's a big ministry in and of itself. So part of your... Just to say what I heard you say, mm-hmm. part of your working outside the home ministry is providing for the family.
Yeah.
You said you do half a car, so you match whatever your kids save.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we do.
We do it up to a certain amount because now we've realized we've got some savers.
We've got a lot of kids.
We don't have a lot of savers. Yeah. Like, Lily was a saver.
Yeah, Lily was a saver, but we were like, oh, man, if she wants to go buy like a Mercedes or something like that, we're going to be hurting.
Totally.
Yeah, so you match it up to a number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. Yeah. Do you see what you do in HR at Show It?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that as ministry?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love my job so much. And, you know, I have a little post-it note on my desk and it just says, do they feel valuable and do they feel successful? Mm. And so at work, that's, you know, something that I want to make sure people come into work and they feel seen and they feel known and valuable and like they can succeed in their work. But also at home, I need to make sure that my kids feel valuable and seen and successful at home as well. I am sometimes their bigger hindrance. And so it is funny when like I work late and they're like, Mom's late. Yay. That means we're going to eat out or all of those things. Like it's funny. I'm fine with it. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Cause then they know we're probably going to go to Chick-fil-A or something.
Yeah, and definitely.
And then we've probably skipped homework time, but there's always time for homework. So we make time for that too.
Yeah.
But it's great. I think I'm a better mom not being home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even when we talk about like our foster care journey, and there was a moment where I was a stay-at-home mom and I just felt like I couldn't actually be home with this one child that we had. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a complete failure because I was like, I'm a stay-at-home mom and I'm contemplating putting a foster child in daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what backwards, ridiculous thing is this? But, you know, I think God was just like, you're not the be-all, end-all to all these people. Like, it's okay. They don't need that much of you. So calm down and just put her in daycare and people will take care of her there. And so... It was very humbling, but it was very, I don't know, eye-opening for me that, like, I don't have to do and be everything for everyone in order for them to feel valuable and successful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need me to like step back and come home a little later and give them a little more time to breathe.
Yeah. And I think one of the things you said there is so big, because we often make it about, like, even early on in our foster care journey, we were trying to be the heroes of the story. And truly, that's not what God was calling us to do. Mm-hmm. God wasn't calling us to rescue kids or anything like that. God was working in us and through us. And God has humbled us many a time where we think this one thing, especially with that first placement, mm-hmm. and some of the struggles that we had with her.
Well, let's put this together in case people haven't heard the weekend that you guys spoke with me. 7 kids. Mm-hmm. How many biological? How many foster adopted?
3. So it's a little confusing. We have 3 biological. We have three that we adopted through foster care here in Arizona, and we have 1 that we adopted as an adult, Kate. And so it's a mixed bag. And we started fostering in 2013. Does that sound mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And we only fostered for about 7 years, and we only fostered 7 kids. And I say only because I have friends who fostered for 5 years or less, and they're like, oh, I've had 30, 40 kids.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, God gave us like very long placements, and I was totally fine with that. And we also only fostered babies for a good amount of time because mm-hmm. we absolutely love babies, and so they don't talk back. That's my personal favorite thing. And so that was, I don't know, our journey was just kind of slower in that regard, but it helped me to be able to keep up, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then when we finally said no more babies because we were exhausted and we were like, oh, we're like 40, we can't do this anymore, that's when we got our 2 last foster placements. Yeah. We adopted, and then being a big family, we were like, we don't have any more room in the inn. So
yeah, we legitimately built extra rooms in our house.
When you guys decided to foster, was it, oh, we saw this need, we felt guilty about it, I guess we'll do it. Was it a joint decision? Was it a whisper, a nudge? Was it a burning bush in your backyard where God spoke through the burning bush, but the bush didn't burn up? Was there lightning in the sky? How did you guys make that decision?
A few of those, I would say. We had talked about always just how can our family be on mission together? Mm-hmm. And specifically, at the time, we had our 3 biological kids, and we wanted them to get involved in service because, as you often say, we're never more like Jesus than when we give and when we serve. And so we wanted that for our kids, too. Mm-hmm. We wanted them to be and we looked at different things. We looked at, okay, could we do Feed My Starving Children, volunteer at a soup kitchen, do things like that sporadically. And at the same time, we were talking about having a 4th. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, that's when we came to Sun Valley. You guys were showing videos from Foster Arizona about foster care. The first time we watched a video, I would say it was more of a nudge, mm-hmm. a slight nudge that we like gave the Heisman to and brushed off. And we're like, nope.
Yeah.
And then the following week, it was more of a...
This is you guys.
More
you
of a, hey, you guys can do this.
Yeah. So let's, again, so on the podcast, we're talking about obedience here. Mm-hmm. So you made that move, and then it turned into adoption, and then not 1, not just 2, but 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 4, yeah.
And 4. Can I say that when we came into it, there was never a moment where we said, hey, this is going to be our family. This is what our family is going to look like. We're going to adopt. That was never part of our plan. Our plan was we're doing this for reunification. We want to reunify the kids that come into our house with their biological parents. That was our initial plan. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at families, the families of 7, the families of 10, the families of that have the big white van, which we did have at for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And we looked at them and we're like, we're not those people. We're not going to be those people. But God's plans are different. God's plans are better. Mm-hmm. And looking at our family now, it's so much more full than we ever could have imagined it, and that our plans would have had. So,
full meaning rewarding, because it's obviously you got a full house.
Rewarding.
For sure.
Yeah. And let me just throw this out there, because we talk about this all the time. Our family is not perfect.
Right.
And we are definitely not perfect parents. So if you had cameras on us for like a reality TV show all the time, you'd be like, oh my gosh, how are these guys parents of seven?
Totally.
And, but again, like, I'm stealing all your lines, I think, but God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And so that for us, that's he's brought us through those steps and to where we are today.
Mm-hmm. I think the funny thing, you could have anyone on this podcast. There are people who have more kids. There are people who've done this for longer, all of those things. So for whatever reason that you've allowed us to be on the podcast, to join you on the weekend, you know, we feel very honored, because at the end of the day, we're like such basic people. You know, Chris likes to watch his grass grow. He likes to put up 10,000 inflatables at Christmas time. Those are our things. We're not missionaries to Africa. We're not doing like these spectacular giant things. But at the same time, I think when you see what God has done in our hearts, like growing up, I actually didn't even think I would ever be a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be the cool aunt. I wanted to like live in New York by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't do that. And it's just never going to happen. And that's okay too. But I just like think back to those things where God has done huge things mm-hmm. in our lives. And maybe other people look and are like, eh, I've done more. And I'm like, great. I love that journey for you so much. But for us, this is a big deal. Like the things that God has done for us and done in and through us, mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for. And that he has allowed us to be a part of these kids' journeys, that he's allowed us to be a part of other people's foster care adoption journeys. But even, I hope, part of their like mental health journeys and their mm-hmm. marriage journeys and their parenting journeys, just because we want to walk alongside people and help them with all of the mistakes we've made, because we have made so many.
So many.
I think people look at let's just break this down. I think people look at like Ben, who was on the podcast last week, spoke that first weekend in the Courageous Faith series, and they're like, oh, you know, walk on at USC, Seahawks, you know, that weekend Roy wore his Super Bowl ring.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, but his story was just really simple.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
He's such
obedience.
A great guy.
Yep. Yeah. And what I love about you guys, mm-hmm. so people might look at you and go, oh, they're the foster care family.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, okay, well, yes. But what I love about you guys is all of your life, like you said a moment ago, you got into that because we want to be on mission as a family. Mm-hmm. And then God nudged you, you know, through a couple of weekends we had here at Sun Valley. But it's because your life is about, I want to intentionally follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. The people on the podcast next week and the week after, it's the same thing. I think we have this, you said it, GA, I think, you know, grandiose idea of I've got to be a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is yes, you do. Mm-hmm. But you can be a missionary in your life right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, can we intentionally follow Jesus and then just see what he does with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think keeps people from living intentionally like that?
I think it's their phones.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think about the kids in youth ministry, not just at our church. I think I know a lot of kids. Obviously, my kids have friends and all those things. And I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Just don't lose your
train of thought. We were going at the same time. So it was, I feel like it wasn't a full cutoff. It was like...
But I think phones have ruined people's lives. And I just look at these kids who...
We sound so old right now.
I know. You know? But I'm not saying this about just kids. I mean, other parents, other marriages that fall apart.
True.
That you're like, how much time do we invest on our phones? Mm-hmm. And how much time do we invest looking at each other? I think mm-hmm. we read this marriage book and they're like, look at each other for 1 minute.
That's right.
And you're like, that's weird, but okay. And so we had to set a timer.
1 minute. And we just stared at each other.
They're like, don't talk and don't look away. And you're like, okay.
Honestly, it was great.
It was great. Yeah. But it's something, how often do we do that? Mm-hmm. Do we just like actually look at each other and have a conversation? And so I think I'm not a big fan of sports in terms of like, sports ruining or like ruling your family's calendar.
Yeah. Meaning for your kids.
For your kids. Even for yourself. I mean, if I were part of like 7 volleyball leagues myself, and yes, let's take care of our bodies, let's be healthy, all of those things. But mm-hmm. like, I just think I see so many people fall to extremes on so many things of mm-hmm. either I'm fully resting, AKA I don't take care of anyone else or anything else, and I'm resting. And I'm like, okay, how long are you going to rest for, right? And then other people who burn too hard on this other side, mm-hmm. and they're just going. And that's not what God wants for us on either sides. Like, mm-hmm. why can't we find that, like, actual medium where we are following the Lord, where we are resting and we find our rest in Him, and we are also serving His people and doing important things? But, man, the phone mm-hmm. epidemic is awful, because I talk to many high schoolers and I love them and I volunteer with them, and that's why I volunteer with them, because I want them to get off their phones and mm-hmm. interact with other kids. And the amount of time that they're on them, I'm like, you could have started a small business, guys, at this point. You could have done, I don't know what else you could have done. Mm-hmm. Like, when Lily's like, hey, I found a recipe on TikTok, I'm like, this is what I'm about. Okay, yeah. Bring the knowledge that you're now learning from
us.
TikTok
feed us.
And yeah. do something with it. But I think there's just such a huge piece of, like, I see and I want.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, the piece that I also want is an experience, but I will do nothing in this middle part yeah. to get to from my thoughts to my desires. You got to do something.
Yeah.
Just do something. So that for me is the part where we miss things. And I miss things too in the, oh, I wish we had more money.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I guess I have to get a job and work full time at this point, and also not spend as much as I want.
Yeah, and I think even with what you're saying, my answer is kind of along the same lines of the comfort. We have this comfort, and we have this idea of what we want for our lives, and we want it to center around ourselves. Naturally, mm-hmm. we have that yearning of, like, it's all about us. And truly, if we had everything that we desired, I'd say even 10 years ago, our lives would be empty. Right. And they wouldn't look at all what they look like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we can come to church, we can listen to the podcast, we can do all these different things. But if there's zero application in our lives, and we make these own excuses for ourselves that hold us back, to me, that is the obstacle. And that's, for me, that's what always gets in the way of my obedience. When we were in the midst of fostering early on, I'd say probably year three or so, and I already felt like we were super busy, Jihei felt called to, okay, I want to start a podcast. And so in my mind, I'm like, is she crazy? Like, we're already so busy. I'm working full time. She's working part time. She's taking care of all these kids. And now she wants to start a podcast for people like looking for resources in foster care. And so in my mind, the answer was already no. And I was creating this no. And even though she was led by the Spirit to the point where she just was like, she kept going. And then eventually I couldn't say no anymore. And so we did this podcast. And I love that story because we did it for about 5 years, 150 or so episodes, and then we passed it off to Foster Arizona, who are the folks that put together those videos at Sun Valley.
Way back when that inspired
us to get into foster care. So
what's the name of the podcast?
It's Fostering Voices.
Yeah.
Fostering Voices.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
And so they're running with it, and they're putting out episodes every couple weeks.
Yeah. And small world, Ben and Brittany were listening to our podcast when they lived in Seattle.
Ben Malcolmson.
Yeah. From last week.
Yeah. Sun Valley. Yeah.
And so they had listened to our podcast because they were just interested in mm-hmm. knowing more about foster care mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And so it was super funny when we met them. They're like, do you guys have a podcast?
That's cool.
Yes. I'm like, oh man, we listened to you guys in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's crazy.
So here's what I heard you say. Okay, what keeps us from intentionally following Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishness.
Yeah.
Right? Wanting everything to be about us. We have this idea that if it's comfort, 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 then I'll be mm-hmm. happy and complete.
Right.
And that's actually not the case. And then the third thing I heard you say is this, we don't apply what we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. we want more information, but we don't do anything with that.
Totally.
Yeah, I think that's spot on.
Yeah.
You're talking about distraction. So I just read a book. I'm going to recommend a book. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
I read that.
By John Mark Comer. Mm-hmm. So Katrina and I, my wife and I, were at this event and he spoke and briefly talked to him. And, I was like, this guy's way more artsy fartsy mm-hmm. than I'll ever be, because he really has this mystic thing about him. He's more that in that lane, I would say.
Sure.
And yet he's really funny in his book and all that. He's great. It's a great book. And so I didn't read his book. I'd heard him speak and all that. And then a few people had mentioned it. And then I read the book. It's so good. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about a lot of it in our next series we do here at the church. But he was talking about the phone and actually what it's doing to us. And he suggested this practice, which I think is great. So they do Sabbath every week. Mm-hmm. So it's sundown on one night to sundown the following night. Mm-hmm. But everybody puts their phone and everybody in the family in a locked up case.
Yeah.
And so there's no technology in that sense. There's no screens, no mm-hmm. TV, no phones, mm-hmm. no anything for that 24 hours, right? And so I thought about, how would that go over, you know, at my house with my boys? And there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a great practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that's interesting with the weeping and the gnashing of teeth is that
addiction.
we're so afraid of what it could possibly look like.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's hardly ever as bad as we think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have like a chores chart on our fridge and people will come over and they're like, these kids do chores? I'm like, this house doesn't clean itself and I'm sure not going to clean the whole thing by myself. And they're like, how do you get your kids to do chores? I don't know. I tell them they should.
They have to.
And it's interesting because people have that reaction of like, well, my kids don't want to. Yeah, they don't want to do anything like besides eat candy and watch TV. But guess what? We're doing other things.
Yeah.
And when they do some of those other things, I mean, we randomly have a pickleball court in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And they've started playing pickleball in PE class at school, which I'm all about, because now they want to play pickleball. And I'm like, look at that. Don't you feel so much better when you've been outside in the sun and you've moved your body and you've interacted with other people in our family? Do you ever feel that way when you get off the phone for 3 hours?
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, I feel so rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for making our kids do what's best for them, regardless of how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is they, on this particular practice, we did a camping trip and it was with this group of people and they took our phones from us and they put them in a locked case for the next 3 days. There's no screens. Right. So after the twitching stopped, our boys were like, that was so great.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I think, in some ways we've just forgotten how to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So intentionally following Jesus, be careful of distraction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like pay attention. Let's be intentional about it. Beware the false god of, I didn't say this one, potential and comfort. Potential is, I think, and I like the way you said it, G.A., but we think, you know, all of our kids are going to be pro athletes, so we've got to sign them up in club ball and run them all around the country all the time. Mm-hmm. And some of that's okay, but let's be careful of that because it can consume your family. So beware the god of comfort and the false god of potential. And then the third one was, let's apply what we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good counsel. You guys preached a good sermon. Did you know you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's apply what we know. So you guys didn't wake up one day and said, how do I be Jesus Jr. and be a saint? You just intentionally together said, we think God's nudging us.
Yeah. And. With that, I feel like we haven't always been on the same page on everything, but we've been in the same book, you know, in the
always
same same arena. And so things that we've done as a married couple that have helped us out is, and if you've talked about this before, Robert's talked about this before, is praying together every night. That's that is an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
It forces us to, one, communicate with each other, communicate with God in each other's presence. And so it's easy to lie to each other. It's not easy to lie to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it has—
Well, he's aware.
Yeah, he's exactly—
He knows you're lying. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I mean, the funniest thing is like when he's like, hey, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. He's like, okay, well, it's your turn to pray. I'm like, okay. And then I'll start praying, and then I'll start crying. He's like, so you're still okay? I'm like,
I was a detective once. I think that everything is not okay.
And so, yeah, I just think the things that have been unveiled while praying together has been really funny because I love to hide and pretend like things are fine and they're not. But one of my favorite things from our time praying together, and we do premarital counseling with young couples sometimes, and so we even like caution them like, hey, maybe don't start this until you're married because it will make your marriage so intimate. Mm-hmm. Because it's so beautiful for me when I've said something about a friend earlier in the day, and then at night he remembers and he prays for that friend. I'm like, oh my gosh, you actually listened to me. I know I have so many words, but sometimes you listen, and I'm so thankful. So that, like, that has brought us closer, which I'm thankful for.
Okay, so here's what I heard you say. Just, I don't want any of the men to miss it. So praying together is sexy. Is that what you just said?
That's amazing. That's what I heard.
Okay. Yeah. And so, but when he goes on work trips or whatever, we still pray. And one time he was in an Uber and we were praying on the phone, and then we got off the phone and went on with our day. And then later he called me back and he was like, hey, my Uber guy brought me my wallet because it fell out of my pocket. And he came and found me because obviously he had dropped him off at the hotel, so he knew where he was staying. But he was like, hey, I wanted to bring you back your wallet and say, I heard you praying with your wife. And that was like, I've never heard that before. Like, that was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you're a good person. So I want to give you your wallet. I don't know what would have happened if you didn't pray. Maybe you would have no wallet and we'd have all these fraudulent charges. But like, I just think that in itself, like, again, we don't have to be on a pulpit. We don't have to be a missionary across the world. Like, just living the way God wants us to and calling us to pray and to be in community with people, I think those are hard these days to do. And so that's like the call to obedience, like faithfully doing these tiny things that make an impact.
Yeah.
Okay. So praying together. So, I'll tell you, Katrina and I talk about it, we'll start to do it, and then we flake out or we're so tired by the time we get in bed, you know, we're out. What does it look like for you guys? Because people might be totally intimidated by that. Is it like this big spiritual, let's get down on our knees next to the bed and call upon the Holy Spirit to fill this room right now? And is it like that?
Nope. It honestly, it's exposed us probably every now and then too, because we'll sit there and we alternate. We alternate every night. And
okay, so you don't both pray every night. You take turns.
Yeah. There are times where Jihei has had a rough day, or more recently, I've had a rough day, and Jihei will just say, "I'm just going to pray tonight."
But
and
guess what? It's your turn tomorrow. You're still crying.
Yeah, and, that's fair.
And so, but there's been times where we're like, "Oh my gosh, we're sitting here arguing over whose day it is." And so there are times where we get exposed like that too. So it's definitely not such a holy moment. But then there, it's an opportunity for us to pray about our kids, friends that are going through difficult things, and again, have that connection. And then oftentimes, as the Holy Spirit does, we get different people put on our hearts, and then that nudge to follow up with them, send them a text, or call them the next day, grab coffee.
Yeah.
And that has led to a lot of things.
Yeah. How unholy our praying time is as well, because if it's my turn to pray, Chris is like, good night, gives me a kiss, and lays down and ready for me to rub his back while I pray. And the chance that he's going to say amen is not high.
He's out.
He's gone.
You know, Jesus had stories like that about his friends falling asleep while he prayed. Yeah.
Jihei has such a soothing voice.
I don't know what it is.
Like, and, you know, obviously when we're having a conversation, I'm not going to fall asleep right in front of her. But there are occasions where I fall asleep during her prayer. So.
Okay.
Not all the time.
So that makes it a little more realistic.
Yeah. So there you go. There's the real view into our lives.
Totally. And honestly, we did our premarital counseling with Chris's grandparents, which they've both passed and are now with Jesus, and we're thankful for that. But we're so thankful for the trajectory they set us upon, you know, and they just really put that on our hearts to like, hey, every day, tell each other you love each other. And we're like, would we not?
Yeah.
But I do think it's easy to like just forget how much you love each other and how much you need Jesus every day, and that you do need to pray and you do need to say that you love each other. And they just taught us, like, again, such simple things that we continue to implement 18 years later. And I'm so thankful for the wisdom that they imparted on us. And so when we do premarital counseling, I mean, we're just telling all these kids the same things like Chris's grandparents told us. And so we're thankful for that.
So I'm going to challenge all the men that are listening that are married. Don't overthink it. Maybe at night, just start praying with your wife, or even just for her if she's not open to it.
Right.
And just see where that goes. Yeah. But I want to challenge the guys to lead out in that.
Yeah. And I think it's easy to also be like, oh, well, we don't go to sleep at the same time, which I have thoughts on that. Like, yes, you can be a night owl married to a morning person and all those things. But if you're saying you don't even have 2 minutes together during the day ever, then there are probably other things wrong in your relationships if you can't spend 2 minutes with the person that you're married to.
And I think it goes back to the prioritizing. And even with me, I know that there are certain sports seasons, football, where I can prioritize. I know I can prioritize my time. And so if I can do that, and I'm looking at somebody who gets let down by their football team all the time.
Thank you for that, Chris.
You're welcome. I'm a Cardinals fan, so I can't. It is what it is. But but you guys find incredible ways to do it every year.
Yeah, where like Cowboys,
the Cowboys just like bring
you
in. At
least the Cardinals don't tease you.
The Cardinals never tease you. You know from week two that it's what kind of season it's going to be. Yeah. And the Cowboys are like, oh, it's going to be a Super Bowl this year.
This is our year.
It's going to be a Super Bowl.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. So, but the priorities. There are other things, and Jihei, you hit on the phone stuff. There are things that we prioritize over God's word, over praying together, which is it doesn't take 25, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's very quick. So that's something.
Yeah. And it compounds over time. So even just a couple of minutes a day, to your point, compounds over time.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, we have in our church, I was telling somebody this just this morning, we have just thousands of phenomenal people.
Mm. Oh,
I mean, really do. And there's a lot of people I'm around in our church, and I'm like, ooh, I got to kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
And to be really honest with you guys, when I'm around you, I'm always inspired to kind of be a little more intentional in my following Jesus. Mm. And so thank you for the example that you guys are and for being who you are. And foster care, yes, great. Mm-hmm. Adoption, yes, great. But I'm just talking about your lives because you're the real deal. And I love you and I'm grateful for you. And thanks for serving us today on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's very encouraging. Yeah, we appreciate you.
I'm going to ask you, GA, would you just pray for people that are listening?
Yes.
Maybe pray about prayer and just them taking steps of obedience and fighting all the things that distract us. And however the Holy Spirit leads you.
Okay, love it.
Thanks.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just this opportunity for us to gather together despite tech difficulties and schedules and whatnot. Lord, we are thankful that we can just take a moment to rest and be in your presence and be in fellowship with one another. And we're thankful for the tech people who are working so hard behind the scenes to make this podcast happen every single week. We pray for blessings upon them. We pray for all of the listeners of this podcast, wherever they are, in their cars, at home, wherever, at work. God, that you would just continue to plant seeds in their hearts. I know that everyone has a desire in their hearts, and I do believe that desire is to know you more and to be known by you and to be known by your people. And so, God, would you give us the wisdom to know the right things to do, and that you would give us the courage and the self-control and the ability to do something, whether that is to get off our phones, whether that is to call someone, text someone, try something new, a recipe, a prayer time with their friends, with their spouse, with their kids. God, help us to live intentionally for you. And it doesn't have to be gigantic, and we don't have to do things that are newsworthy, but everything is for your glory and is worthy to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be with your people who want to do more for you, Lord. And so we just lay down our hearts and our desires and put them at your feet. And we pray that you would give us the ability to do something with that. And so, Lord, thank you again for your love. Thank you for Sun Valley and just the wonderful seeds that is planted in so many people's lives, and that we would continue to bear fruit for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Loving God, Loving People podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this conversation, we'd love it if you rated the podcast and left us a review. Also, sharing this with a friend is a great way to help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And lastly, you are always welcome to join us online for one of our services every week at live.sv.cc or go to locations.sv.cc to join us in person at one of our physical